Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 419. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Continuing my 2025 rookie review series this episode, I already did the infield, which was episode 418. That was an absolutely loaded episode. So many notable rookie debuts in the infield this year. Outfield, not quite as loaded, but still plenty of exciting names to talk about, both good and bad. So still plenty of fun names to talk about in this episode. But before I do, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, including TeamSync, Lineup Assistant Tools, Free Agent Finder, Prop Picks, and the number one DFS Lineup Optimizer. Our Premium Pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. And if you sign up right now using the code SMASH, S-M-A-S-H, SMASH, you get 50% off. That is a great discount right there. All right, plenty of infielders. Really only going to break it up into AL and NL this episode. I know last time I kind of did like studs and duds and stuff like that, but I'll just go AL and NL this episode, starting with the American League. And what other place to start than with Mr. Roman Anthony, Boston Red Sox, 21-year-old outfielder who, you know, the stats weren't like gaudy, not like Nick Kurtz, but there were still, I had plenty of tweets out there and I'm sure others did as well. Like, oh, Roman Anthony is the first guy since Ted Williams to do this, or the first guy since, you know, Barry Bonds. Like, there's a lot of those types of tweets where it was impressive company that Roman Anthony was in. 303 plate appearances, 292, 396, 463 slash line. I think that's the sixth highest OBP by a rookie this century, if I recall correctly. You know, some of the names ahead of him were, you know, Albert Pujols was obviously up there. I think Mike Trout was ahead of him. Juan Soto's got names like that. So a pretty impressive list to be on. So nearly a 400 OBP as a rookie, 463 slug, 8 home runs, 4 steals, 48 runs scored, and plenty of impressive metrics under the hood. You know, look at the Savant page. There's a lot of red here, especially in quality of contact. That's the area he really stood out in. 174 batted balls, 15.5% barrel rate, average EV of 94.5 miles per hour, and a hard hit rate of 60.3%. I mean, those are all not just, you know, among the league leaders of rookies. Those are among the league leaders overall hitters. I mean, hitting the ball incredibly hard, consistently, obviously drawing plenty of walks, 13.2% walk rate, only a 20% chase rate. You know, swing rate, very low, about 10% below league average. So that does limit him. I think kind of similar to, you know, like Juan Soto in a way where sometimes Anthony's passivity limits him. I mean, it's great skill to have. I'd rather have him be more passive than just swinging at everything, obviously. But that does kind of limit some of the damage he can do. So I think there's a path to just absolute superstardom here with Anthony. If he can be a little more aggressive, you know, hunt out those pitches he wants to really drive, because obviously he can do damage. Like, he's, you see that in the quality of contact. This guy can do damage, but sometimes he limits himself with the damage he can do by just drawing a ton of walks and just seeing too many pitches, getting himself into too many two straight counts, you know, and that makes the K rate go a little higher than it probably should. I mean, he had a K rate near 28%. You know, he's not a 28% K rate guy. He's not like a 10% K rate guy, but, you know, probably should be more around league average as opposed to, you know, 28%, 27.7% to be exact, but just getting himself into too many deep counts. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get a couple extra strikeouts here and there. So that's a little bit of a concern, something I'd like to see him be more aggressive, get the ball in the air more going forward. Error rate was only 49.4%. Pull rate was right on league average, but pull error rate 13.8%. That is below league average by about 3% there. So really, you know, he can be more aggressive and really lean into that pull power a bit more. I know Fenway can be a little tricky for left-handed pull power, but Anthony has 30 homer upside. He has the speed and athleticism to be, you know, like a 10 to 15 steal guy annually, obviously high OBP. And while the contact rates probably won't stand out, I think he can still be a high average guy, just given the fact that the contact rates will be good enough, plus the elite quality of contact. So I expect him to still hit for a good average with a great OBP and potentially 30 home runs and 10 to 15 steals along the way. Probably going to be a guy that scores a lot of runs. I mean, he was leading off for Boston before he got hurt and missed the last, last month or so of the season. Plenty of runs, you know, good lineup, good ballpark. Roman Anthony, absolute stud. So I already have him, I think, around 15th in my dynasty rankings. And I could see him being top 10. He has maybe not like top five upside. You know, he's not like a, you know, huge stolen base guy, but I think you could see Anthony in that top like 8 to 12, 13 range in dynasty rankings for a long time. Going over to the New York Yankees here with Jason Dominguez, who is still rookie eligible coming into this year, probably one of the front runners for AL Rookie of the Year this year, but that didn't really pan out. Not like a terrible year, still had 10 home runs, 23 steals, and 429 plate appearances, but pretty underwhelming, 257, 331, 388 slash line. Now, there's some good in here. Average EV was above average at 90.5 miles an hour. Hard hit rate, 49.6%. Walked at a 9.6% clip. You know, zone contact was right around league average at 83%. Overall contact, a little below at 73%, but not terrible by any means. But just didn't really get the ball in the air consistently. You know, only a 7% barrel rate, only a 12.6% pull air rate. You know, his air rate overall was only slightly below league average, but it wasn't really leaning into that pull side power, you know, that he really has shown off in the past. Like, this is a guy that I thought could easily be, you know, I know he's a switch hitter, but, you know, most, you know, I'd say two-thirds of his at-bats or so come as a lefty, you know, Yankee Stadium. I thought Jason can be 25, 30 homer guy. I still think that is possible. I mean, we got to remember, he's only 22 years old, still very young. But definitely a very underwhelming overall power season from him. But he was still running plenty. You know, that's something that he's kind of shown consistently through the minor leagues and in the majors. 23 steals last year, 84th percentile sprint speed. You know, bat speed is really good too, 80th percentile bat speed. So there's still some good here. And you know, obviously still going to be in a good lineup, good park. So I think there's a better chance that the arrow goes up for Dominguez as opposed to down moving forward, but maybe he's not like going to be that, you know, outfield one, you know, top 15 outfielder. And maybe he's going to be more of like an outfield two or three long term, but I do think there's, you know, greener pastures ahead, you know, clearer skies for Jason Dominguez. Still plenty of talent there. So don't be out on him by any means. Again, he's 22, still showing some good metrics. Yeah, there's some kinks in here that need to be worked out, but Dominguez, I think, still could be a pretty valuable fantasy asset. So if you can buy low on Dominguez this offseason, which I think you could, given people are pretty underwhelmed with his rookie year, I would be looking to buy low if possible. A couple of names down here, staying in the AL East, but going down to Tampa Bay with the Rays, Jake Mangum and Chandler Simpson. I mean, we kind of expected what Simpson did, but Mangum really came out of nowhere. I mean, did anybody think that, you know, and this is a 29-year-old rookie, too. Like, that was never, you know, a highly ranked prospect ever. Like, I don't think I ever had him in my top 500, you know. So, it really came out of nowhere this year. 428 plate appearances, 3 home runs, 27 steals, 296, 330, 368 slash line. With him, you know, he makes good amount of contact. You know, zone was 87%. Overall, around 81%. But 43.7% chase rate and a 62% swing rate. So very, very aggressive, but you know, at least he has some solid contact skills. 91st percentile sprint speed. You know, It was fun. Anybody that picked him up got a nice little speed boost this year, but I just don't see Mangum being more than like a fourth outfielder. Like, he had 428 play appearances this year. I'd bank more on that number going down than up next year, and there's literally no power upside to speak of. You know, well below average power bat, hits the ball on the ground. He actually had a negative average launch angle this year, negative 0.7 degrees, 62% ground ball rate, which, you know, is, you know, you're a speedster without much raw power. That's what you're supposed to do. You hit the ball on the ground and run it out. But obviously, that's not really valuable for fantasy. So outside of being a deep league speed guy, I just don't see a ton of value here for Jake Mangum moving forward. Chandler Simpson, he's like Jake Mangum on steroids. So, I mean, one of my preseason bowl predictions on Rotoballer was that Simpson was going to lead the American League in steals this year. He almost did. He finished, I think, tied for second with Jose Ramirez at 44. Was only behind Jose Caballero, who had 49. So could have been that guy. I mean, he got sent down for, what was it, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that, right around a month. So you got to imagine if he didn't get that, you know, option, the AAA, he probably would have had another 6, 7, 8 steals, probably been somewhere in that 52 to 54 range, and led the AL. So felt pretty good about that. But you got to know what you're getting into with Simpson. Like Mangum, like, there's no power potential to speak of here. No home runs for Simpson this year. And really, go look at the spray chart for hits on Savant. And he only has, like, you know what, 6, 7, maybe 8 hits that were like deeper hits. A lot of it's just like singles and doubles down the line where he uses speed to his advantage, but not a lot of like deep hit balls this year. But elite runner, one of the fastest runners in all of baseball, does not strike out, only a 9.8% strikeout rate, and a 92.5% zone and 88.5% overall contact rate. So puts a bat on the ball, gets on base, and runs like hell. So that's what you're getting with Simpson. Don't expect any home runs or RBIs, but, you know, this is a guy that could give you a solid amount of runs scored, hits you for a good average. He's always been a high contact guy, while being, you know, if not a league winner, definitely a big boost in that speed department. So Chandler Simpson, you know, I think he's going to be a guy that could just be an annual 50 steal guy for the foreseeable future, while giving you a good average. So again, if you can get your power, you know, home runs and RBIs elsewhere, I think he could be a pretty good three-category guy moving forward. So some people like that, some people don't. It's just a matter of your style as a fantasy baseball manager. But Simpson can't have value and a lot of value if used in the right way. Going up to Toronto, another, you know, rookie that came out of nowhere, an older rookie, Nathan Lukes, 31-year-old rookie this year. But, hey, you know, he was, I think, top 10 in outfield war and WRC plus for rookies. A pretty solid year overall, 255, 323, 407, 12 home runs, a pair of steals, 438 plate appearances, also scored 55 runs and drove in 65, 38 walks to 60 strikeouts. So a nice strikeout to walk ratio there, 8.7% walk rate, 13.7% strikeout rate, and quality of contact, you know, doesn't really stand out, kind of middle of the road, average EV slightly below average, same thing with the hard hit rate, barrel rate for only 4.7%, but approach is good, contact skills are good, 89% zone, 86% overall contact rate, so that he can put the bat on the ball and get on base. I know that wasn't totally reflected in his average and OBP, they were kind of the middle of the road in both instances, but yeah, I imagine that he could easily see those tick up if he continues to get a full-time opportunity or close to it for Toronto in 2026. That's hard to say at this point, but you know, he's got some deep league value, not like super intriguing just because there's no speed upside here, minimal power upside. Like, I don't think he's more than like a 15 to 18 homer guy over a full year. That's kind of like the top end of his power potential, but hey, again, some deep league value, maybe, you know, a little bit higher, you know, in like a points league type of setting, but yeah, there's some value here. Just not, you know, overly exciting. That's for sure. Next up here, we got Cam Smith, who started off kind of cold, got really hot at one point, and then ended cold. Like you look at in April, 224, 297, 403 slash line, but then May and June hit over 300 each month, 388 OBP in May, 354 OBP in June, had four home runs in June. That's kind of like his biggest power month there at a 494 slug in that month, but then kind of went downhill after that. 214 in July, 147 in August, 194 in September. So pre-All-Star break, 277, 347, 418. Post-All-Star break, 154, 247, 242 with only two home runs in 170 plate appearances. You know, the issue really with him is that, I mean, it doesn't actually, it's not like one thing. Like, it's not like, oh, this is the issue here with him. But, you know, there are some good metrics here. There's some decent metrics here. Like, you look at contact rates are right around, or zone was right around average. You know, overall contact rate, a few percentage points below average. But he had a 41% hard hit rate. That was pretty solid. 114 max, 8.7% walk rate. 95th percentile sprint speed, 84th percentile bat speed. He's one of, I think, only like six or seven hitters to have a bat speed and sprint speed in the 80th percentile or higher. So that's kind of fun. But, you know, overall, like the average EV, a little bit low. You know, that was only in the 19th percentile there. So X slug was only 384. You know, K rate a little bit higher at 27.8%. So I don't know. I'm so lukewarm on Cam Smith. I mean, part of me wants to be higher on him. The other part of me is kind of like, eh, he's good, but not great. So he's a little bit of a difficult one for me to rank right now. You know, a little bit of a higher ground ball rate, but not terrible, 45% ground ball rate. But pull error rate was only 13.1%, below average pull rate as well. I'd love to see him, obviously, as a righty in Houston. You want to see that pull error rate be a little bit higher than that. I think he could really, you know, if he does, like, I think there's 20 plus homer potential. I think there's potential for 15 to 20 steals as well. So there could be a fun little outfielder here in Cam Smith. And he makes a few tweaks here moving forward. But for now, I think he's a moderate buy. I mean, I'm not like rushing out to get a Cam Smith, but I think there's some good skills here, which could lead to some fantasy success, maybe be like a back end top 100 guy or something like that. So that's kind of where I'm at on Cam Smith. Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Last one here in the American League, Jack Caglione. I mean, he actually had, I pulled up look at the rookie leaderboard here for W, or what? How do I have it sorted by? Oh, no, by WAR. Rookie leaderboard for Fangraphs WAR for the 91 rookies that had at least 100 plate appearances. Caglione was at last with a negative 1.6 WAR. I mean, the next ones above him were Heston Kjerstad. I mean, man, that guy fell off a cliff too. negative 1.1. Vinny Capra, Trey Sweeney, Adiel Amador. Now, those were the bottom five. But Jack was last by half a run. Again, a negative 1.6. And then Kearside was negative 1.1. Yeah, really rough year for Jack. I mean, there's some good in there. I mean, he's got a super strong arm out there in right field, obviously moving from first base to right field because of Vinny Pasquantino. He had the number one bat speed for all rookies at 77.3 miles an hour and 12% barrel rate, really good. Average EV, 89.4. Hard hit rate, 42.4%. You know, K rate wasn't even high. It was a 22.4% K rate. Actually had an above average 84.7% zone contact rate. Overall was a little below average at 73.2%, but not bad at all. But it all just boils down to the chase rate. That's always been the issue with Jack. It's been what kind of limited him at times in the minor leagues. Like, he's got some of the best power in all of baseball. I mean, if you had to have a home run derby with the eight just best pure raw power guys in baseball, Jack Caglione might be in that home run derby. I mean, he's definitely in that conversation without question. But he's a super aggressive, always has been, chases way too much outside the zone, and that really limits him at times. So that's why in 232 plate appearances, he slashed 157, 237, 295. Seven home runs. I mean, there was a stretch in a little bit, like a week or two, where he started to come out of that funk, but then he went kind of right back into it. So really, it boils down to he needs to really correct that high chase rate, start being a little more selective, hunting out those pitches that he can really do damage on within the zone, not going outside the zone as frequently as he does. I still think he could be a 30-plus, 35-plus, maybe even a 40-homer bat. That's the power potential with Jack Caglione. But is he just another Joey Gallo? I mean, that outcome is absolutely a possibility too, which is kind of why I'm not out on Caglione by any means. You know, he's too much upset to be fully out on him right now, and he's still only 22. But I'm hesitant to go out and get a Jack Caglione either. Maybe if the price tag was super cheap, which it might be, but I'm a little bit more reserved in going after him as like a buy low in dynasty leagues. All right, over to the National League now. And one of the more surprising kind of rookie of the year front runners this year, Isaac Collins with the Milwaukee Brewers, another one of these older rookies from this year, 28 years old, only had 19 plate appearances in the majors entering 2025, and, you know, former ninth round pick by the Rockies in 2019. So never a guy that was highly thought of in the draft or in any sort of prospect rankings, but, you know, had a sneaky good year for the Brewers this past year. 441 plate appearances, 263, 368, 411 slash line, 9 home runs, 16 steals, 56 runs scored, and 54 RBI, 57 walks to 93 strikeouts. But yeah, that pretty good OBP there of 368, one of the higher marks among rookies this past year. 12.9% walk rate to a 21.1% strikeout rate, a pretty solid fielder as well. Not a good arm, but pretty good fielder, which helps Milwaukee, obviously. Chase rate was only 18.4%. That was one of the best marks in all of baseball. You know, above average contact rates, 84% zone, 77.5% overall. So really, look at the contact and approach metrics are all pretty rock solid, all above average, basically across the board. You know, not much of a power speed guy. I mean, sprint speed's pretty middle of the road. Don't really see him being kind of more than what he was this year, maybe like a teens steal guy. And maybe he gets up into the teens for home runs at some point. You know, he's around a league average, you know, average exit velocity and hard hit rate, though the barrel rate was lower at 4.9%. Did have a pretty solid pull air rate, though, so maybe it's a little bit of hope that he can kind of have the power metrics tick up, but really didn't do really anything against off-speed pitches. He really struggled against off-speed. He hit fastballs fairly well, and breaking balls, he actually kind of mashed. He had a 592 slug against breaking balls, but hit 206 with a 309 slug against off speed, only with an 84.9 average exit velocity on those. So, and not a ton of upside here again, but he could be like a serviceable outfield 4-5, kind of like if you got some upside guys and you want to kind of play it safe with your outfield 4-5, I think Collins can be a fine option, you know, a little bit more value in OBP formats, but maybe he could be, you know, like a, you know, slightly less, you know, lesser version of like a Stephen Kwan or something like that, you know. Again, not a ton of upside. I'm probably not going after Collins, but you know, he can have value in you know, OBP formats especially. And again, guy that probably won't be a lot of, you know, won't be a high cost to acquire him. So yeah, you want like a cheaper, solid outfield 4 or 5 type, you know, Collins could be your guy if that's what you're looking for. Jacob Marcy kind of burst onto the scene late in the season. 234 plate appearances, 5 home runs, 14 steals, 292, 363, 478 slash. That did, you know, go down. Like, he did cool off near the end of the season. Like, look at September. He was 231, 292, 327 in September, but 352, 430, 629 in August. So it's like, all right, you got two really stark difference their months, you know, one great month, one terrible month. Did pitchers just quickly figure him out? I mean, hard to say, but you look at the underlying metrics and there are some good metrics here for sure. And, you know, he hits all three pitch types well. So it wasn't like, oh, hey, he can't hit breaking balls. Let's throw him more of those. No, he hits all three pitches pretty well, makes contact pretty well on all three. It's for power off breaking balls and fastballs, not so much off speed, but makes a lot of contact against, you know, really every pitch type. You know, off speed only has 65% contact rate on those, but 80% contact rate on breaking balls, 85 on fastballs. So pretty solid there. Good power, you know, or decent power, middle of the road, slightly above average contact power rates, 8% barrel rate, 88.9 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 407 xWOBA, 41.4% hard hit rate. Above average runner as well, not a burner, but a guy that's always had that desire to run. So he's a good but not great runner. With, you know, always been a guy that steals a lot of bags. Like, he's always had a lot of attempts. So I think he could be a 30 steal guy. Now, maybe he's not the, you know, not the fastest guy in the world, not that, you know, maybe he doesn't have as much speed as a lot of these other, you know, 30 plus steal, you know, guys, but, you know, above average speed with that desire that can turn into 30, you know, plus steals. And Miami has always seemed to be a team that runs a good bit. So 30 steals, maybe like a 12 to 15 homer guy as well. And I think he can hit for a decent average with a good OBP as well. You know, he had an 87% zone and 80% overall contact rate. Chase rate was just under 20%. So, you know, pretty solid there. 9.5% walk, 20.5% strikeout rate. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a stud or even a top 100 guy, but could he be like 270, 12 to 15 home runs, 25, 30 steals? Yeah. I think his ceiling's more like outfield 3 for ceiling and probably more like an outfield 4, but you know, I don't think he's totally fluky. I mean, you might think that given the, you know, stark difference in months there, but I think there's a middle ground, and that middle ground is still a decent player with some good skills that can contribute to fantasy value. So he's going to get plenty of opportunity to start in that Miami outfield and probably lead off or hit high on the order at the very least. So yeah, I think there's some value to be had here with Marcy, and I don't think he's a total fluke by any means. Another rookie down there with Miami, Heriberto Hernandez, guy that had some prospect hype at one point, but that kind of died off. But you know, pretty sneaky decent year for him in Miami. 294 plate appearances, 266, 347, 438 slash line, 10 home runs. You know, decent quality of contact metrics here. 11% barrel rate, average EV a hair over 90 miles an hour, hard hit rate about 45.5%. Also had a 10.5% walk rate and 84th percentile sprint speed, though he's ever been a guy that shows, you know, he actually has a better sprint speed than Marcy. But Marcy runs a lot more than Hernandez does. So, like, again, this is another example of it doesn't always come down to sprint speed with stealing bags. But Hernandez has a decent bat here. I mean, good batted ball angles too. 58% air rate, 46% pull rate, 22.5% pull air rate. Though, you know, I do wonder where the average winds up because contact rates aren't good. Well, he hits the ball hard at ideal angles. You know, zone contact was 71%. Overall contact, 65%. And it's not even a fact of, oh, he just goes outside the zone too much and swings and misses too much. Because the chase rate, well, the strikeout rate was 26%, which is a little high. But chase rate's only 21.5%. So like, he's missing in zone a good bit. And that's an issue. So I got to wonder if that is going to lead to him just coming, kind of going in and out of the lineup, having a lot of, you know, peaks and valleys throughout the season. I think he could be like a 20 to 25 homer bats over a full year, but it's got to wonder, is the average more like 230 or something like that over a full season as opposed to 266 he had in about half a season? So there's some cheap power vibes here with Hernandez, but I have my doubts that he turns into a guy that you're like really targeting for fantasy purposes. Last two names for today, both from the Washington Nationals. We'll start with Dalen Lyle, who I think if he had another month or two, could have put himself like into that National League Rookie of the Year race. It's probably either going to be Drake Baldwin or Cade Horton. But Lyle, you know, he had a really good second half of the year. And I think he was actually, top 10 in all of, not just among rookies, all of baseball in second half, like WRC Plus and WOBA and all those. I'm pulling it up here real quick. You know, I'm pretty sure he ranks pretty highly. Let's see here. Yeah, he was 8th in WRC Plus at 162. He was tied with Yandy Diaz, right behind Perdomo, Langoliers, Bichette. But he had a 162 WRC Plus in the second half and hit 333, 380, 576 in the second half. Overall, 351 plate appearances, 299, 347, 498, 9 home runs, 8 steals. And you look at, you know, across the board, you know, pretty solid metrics. 40% hard hit rate, 89-mile-an-hour average EV, only a 5% barrel rate. But contact rates are pretty good, 87% zone, 81% overall, better than league average chase rate, only a 16% strikeout rate. XBA was 309, a lot of good there. Walk rate only 6%, so it doesn't really, you know, get on base at an elite clip, but you know, the average, the context still is help keep that OBP reasonable. With 347, it's pretty solid. You know, 498 slug, you know, sneaky good power too. As I mentioned, great runner too. Okay, not a burner, that could steal you a ton of bags, but could he be a guy that flirts with 2020? Maybe. Never thought I'd be saying that about Dalen Lyle, a guy that kind of lost a lot of his prospect shine over the last couple of years, but. You look at the metrics, and for the most part, they're pretty decent. You know, high sweet spot rate, 44% there. Pull air rate of 20%. You know, pull rate of 39%. Air rate 63.5%. Some decent batted ball angles there too. So yeah, I think he could be a guy that goes, you know, always pushes 2020 if given the chance. I think he's definitely earned that chance to be an everyday starter for the Nationals here in 2026, especially if they're going to go more of the DH route with James Wood. I mean, they'll have Dylan Cruz out there. You know, Robert Hassel might get a look. So I think Dalen Lyle is pretty locked into that outfield and probably hitting in the top half of that lineup too, like he did most of the second half of the season. So, yeah, I think there's some sneaky value here, and I'm kind of digging Dalen Lyle. I'd rather go after Dalen Lyle than like Isaac Collins. I think there's a little bit more upside here with Dalen Lyle. So two guys that I think are maybe similar value-wise right now, I'd rather go after Dalen Lyle. All right, last name, Dylan Cruz, kind of the National League's version of Jason Dominguez, where it was underwhelming this year for sure, but still some good metrics under the hood, and he's still young, 23 years old, far too soon to, you know, be out on Dylan Cruz, in my opinion, because the guy still has a potentially bright future. 89th percentile sprint speed this year, barrel rate just under 10%, average EV just under just under 90 miles an hour. Hard hit rate of about 39%. So still has, you know, good bat speed, good sprint speed. So you see this, those tools, some of those tools are there that you look for to be a fantasy viable player. zone contact rate was right around league average, though overall contact rate was a bit below average by about, actually about 5.5%. So you'll need to kind of cut down on the whiff rate there. But there's not a lot of like glaring red flags in the profile for Dylan Crews either. There's some things to work on, absolutely. I guess like the one or the area that he really needs to work on is, I mean, okay, this actually is like the red flag. Really his just effectiveness against non-fastballs. All 10 of his home runs came off of fastballs this year. He had a 447 slug and a 207 ISO on fastballs, average EV of 91.2 miles an hour. And while the EVs against breaking and off-speed were, you know, fine at right around 87.5 miles an hour, he had a contact rate of 63.5% on breaking balls and 60.8% on off-speed with zero home runs against them. Only 5 extra base hits total off of non-fastballs, 4 doubles and 1 triple. So that is kind of the area of concern there, but still, again, still some good. If I'm comparing like him and Jason, who are that other buy low on, I think they're both fine buy lows. I think maybe, you know, their perceived value rose too high in previous years. I mean, you know, hindsight's 2020, that's easy to say now, obviously, but maybe they're not, you know, the high end fantasy assets we thought they could be, but I think there's still paths for both these guys to be solid fantasy guys. I think there's still a little more upside with Jason. So if I had to go after one of these guys as a buy low, I'd go after Jason Dominguez. But Dylan Crews is a fine buy low as well. All right, but that's going to wrap me up for the outfield portion. Next up is pitchers, and a lot of fun rookie pitchers this year as well. So that'll be out early next week. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.